Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Today's episode is brought to you by our premium subscriber, Christy Dougherty. Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me, as always, is the lovable, the huggable, the always wonderful Ronnie Karam from trashtalktv.com. Hi, Ronnie.
Well, hello, Benjamini.
Oh, hello, Rondell. How's it going over there?
Love ya. I'm good. We just did a really fun bonus, and I am back at couch desk today, so I'm like in the corner part of the sectional, so I've got things to lean on, things to put my feet on. It's a great day.
That's great. Yeah, I'm broadcasting today from New York. I'm at my parents' place because Passover's coming up this weekend, and so I thought I would get an early start on my Westchester activities. So,
little East Coaster.
Yeah, exactly. And so those activities include not going to Starbucks to get coffee for this podcast, because there are no Starbucks to get coffee for this podcast. I should have gone to Dunkin' Donuts.
Gonna change it up. Sometimes I have to do this with coffee, and then sometimes I just can't get it. That's what I do. I'm a pro, okay, baby?
Let me tell you something. This town is not owning it, baby, when it comes to Starbucks, because no one is drinking Starbucks around here. But I could have gone to Dunkin' Donuts and gotten some coffee, and I should have, but I budgeted my time incorrectly. I had to go feed my brother's cat, and here we are.
I love it.
This is the story.
I love a hectic story like that.
That this is what it is.
Home and you're like, how was your day? I drove somewhere, and then, oh my God, the parking there was crazy. And then, can you believe they took out the flowers in front of the store and put cement? Why would they do that? Why? Okay, well,
That's what I am. You know, whenever I come to New York, it's actually more work, because I get work to do. Like, I get things assigned to me, like, you know, got to feed my brother's cat half an hour away. And then, like, I got to do random things. I got to help out with random this for him or that. And then, you know, you got to visit friends. So you're driving around doing all this stuff. It's more stressful to go home for a week on a quote-unquote, like a mini vacation than it is to just hang out in L.A.
Yeah, and I don't ever go on vacation. I only go home. Like, that's my vacation. And so I go twice a year, and I started thinking that recently, too. It's like, what the hell? It's like I have a list of shit to do for everybody. Well, not even a to-do, but just like see this person, then do that. And then I'm hiding in my mom's bedroom while she's playing canasta so I can watch the Housewives. I'm like sitting on the floor so I don't mess up her bed watching Housewives. I'm like, fuck this. My parents asked me once why I isolate myself from the family, and I was like, because I want to isolate myself from the family. Alone. Jesus.
I love my family, but you know, they definitely heap on a lot of stuff when I get into town. But then they also feed me, so you know what? I also love that too.
But we're non-married people, so that whole grind of family, we're not used to it, because we get to lead selfish lives and just do what we want to do.
Exactly.
Wake up when we need to, and
we're totally spoiled. I mean, we are totally.
This was my goal. I just wrote my own fairy tale, like Siggy Flicka.
Yeah, because every time I start to complain about, like, ugh, I come home and next thing you know, I got to move a chair for my dad. And it's like, well, you know, like, think of all the things my parents do for me. And like, okay, I can move a chair.
Oh,
I just
God,
have to get
I'm
over
not
myself.
Think about that. Yeah, when I'm there, I'm like, I'm not going to break down. Do what they say. And then you go home in a week and you can be back in your bubble, you know. So I do it. I love being around them. I'm just, you know, I'm a shut-in.
Mm-hmm. I just want to go back to LA and be in the confines of whatever I'm confined just with over there.
For me, yeah, just my apartment. I just want to be on my couch with my giant TV 5 feet from my face and food I like, and then I can go outside and smoke without people giving me shit. Yeah. I don't have to ask people stuff. Oh, solitary life.
You know what? I miss
single tier.
I miss NoHo at this moment. I miss being able to walk out the door and across the street and getting a nice coffee, as opposed to here, I have to like get in the car then drive down the driveway, then I cry down the road, down to 138, finally go to
the supermarket. Chick flick. It took going home to realize how much you love NoHo. It's like the love story between you and North Hollywood. Oh, single tear.
Oh, I really, really miss NoHo right now. Miss it so badly.
Well, we need to do this show.
Let's get on with it. So, come visit us at watchwhatcrappens.com. You'll find links to all our social media. If you go to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens, you can join in the conversation. And if you like that page, lots of stuff, great stuff goes up there. A lot of links and articles and just random photos and in-jokes and stuff. It's a really great way to round out the Watch What Crappens experience. And of course, if you are so inclined, feel free to support us on patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. We try to give back to our supporters as best we can. That includes a bonus episode this week's we just recorded, and we talked about going to Coachella. I talked a little bit about how I went to Toronto this weekend as well.
Ben and I went to Coachella in a fat burger truck.
We did hear all about it there. Hear all about our Coachella trip on the bonus episode.
Some famous people,
things happened. There's a hologram story. So then
there's a ramp love story, okay? A love story between somebody and a ramp.
Yeah. We also finally, decidedly discovered who Countess Luann sounds like. We found the voice of Countess Luann, and you will never guess who it is. Oh, and also we discussed the new Real Housewives of New Jersey cast member, Siggy Flicker. So go to listen to that bonus episode because it's really fun. And then there's other stuff that you get, such as the Crappens mailbag. You can submit to that, which we will get to in just a moment. But before we do that, we do have a little bit of business. Okay. First of all, our premium subscriber, Christy Dougherty. We love you, Christy. Thank you for supporting us. Second of all, now that Vanderpump Rules has wrapped for the season, you may think that's it, but we are very happy to announce that we have some of the cast members here on this podcast right now. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our special guest, Miss Kristen Duty.
Oh, hey guys, like before I tell Diana to like suck a dick or eat a dick or whatever, like I want to tell you tonight's specials, like Lulu, happy birthday, okay, bitch? There, I said it, okay?
Lulu, you're such a basic bitch. I can't believe it's your birthday. Your sister Emily B was like, oh, wish happy birthday to my sister Lulu. And I'm like, Lulu, who the fuck is Lulu, you basic bitch whore?
Lulu, it's your birthday, and I want you to, like, not be an alcoholic today, okay? So, like, have 5 drinks, but not, like, any tequila, okay? Because, like, I can't marry you unless you're the Lulu that I, like, wake up with. You know what I mean?
I think that Lulu's going to have one of all of the prime cocktails.
Who does that?
Happy birthday, Lulu.
Happy birthday, Lulu.
Darling, be nice to Lulu.
Be nice to Lulu. That was from your sister, Emily B. So happy birthday, Lulu. Hope you're having a great birthday time. And in case no one has sent Lulu any flowers, don't worry. We can fix that. Can we not, Ronnie?
God, Lulu's birthday is today. Mother's Day is May 8th. Yeah. I know. It seems like it was just Mother's Day, you know?
It does. And, or it feels like it was just Lulu's birthday at the very least.
Yes. Like, it still feels like it's Lulu's birthday. Like, seriously? It's Lulu's motherfucking birthday, okay? And I know that you feel like you don't have enough time because you're listening to this probably at a different time than we're recording, and you're like, how do I order Lulu flowers? But there is still time to order her the best flowers of her life. From theboaks.com. Boaks, B-O-U-Q-S.
Yeah, Boaks. Like bouquet, but without the other part of
Boaks.
Bouquet. Boaks. Boaks. Boaks.
Like through the Boaks.
I can't believe you mispronounced Boaks around Lula's birthday.
That's so bourgeois.
It's a mute okay. point.
How do you say it? What is this? The book? The back?
The Boaks?
I don't know the words.
Here's what you need to know, everyone, about the Boaks. That Mother's Day is on May 8th, and it's going to sneak up on you, so it's time to get some flowers, okay?
Here's how they're different, okay? They're different from the other flower companies. They're grown at eco-friendly farms on the side of a volcano.
Seriously? A volcano? The blooms, by the way, the blooms are larger, and the colors are more vibrant.
And it's a better soil and more sun at a lofty 10,000 feet thing.
Yeah. So order from Books.com today, because if you wait until the last second, you get second-rate flowers.
Your mom knows second-rate flowers. They're the crappy ones that come in from a massive online outlet.
She does
or
know.
Or the limp ones snuggle next to the green onions at the grocery store. Don't give your mom shitty flowers. That
and
is
don't give her green onions either. Don't They don't count. So gorgeous flowers from the Books really do say, thanks, Mom, for all you do.
So what's all this gorgeousness cost? Not much. Yeah. The Books prices start at a mere $40. No upcharges, no extra fees. Even a delivery is absolutely free when you register with the Books. Listeners of our show save 20% off the bouquet of your choice. Just go to Books.com and enter promo code WATCH. That's BOUQS.com. Promo code WATCH. Books.com. Promo code WATCH. Damn it! There, I said it.
Ronnie was taking the audience by the shoulders and shaking them. Books.com/watch.
You hear a lot of ads, okay? But this is important. This is your mother.
Psh, psh, psh. That's the sound of Ronnie slapping the audience several times. Get your mama a flower or get your dad a flower. How about that?
You
get
know,
everyone flowers.
One thing that mothers and Ronnie's have in common, we love getting things in the mail. Ben, has the mailman been by lately?
Oh, you know what? He has. The mailman has been around lately. And guess what he delivered? Another dose of Crappin's mailbag. Which
yay!
Was,
yay!
Yay! Smoothest podcast ever.
That's so Persian.
That's so Persian. Mm-hmm.
The way you all delivered right. That mail was so Persian. Like, white people, they'll just, like, put it in your mailbox. But, like, Persians, we go on the internet. Like, it's crazy.
We don't call it email. We call it P-mail, like Persian mail.
Or Asa. We've literally had the internet for 50,000 years, so we go all out for the internet. Shut up.
We go all out.
We haven't gotten to Shaw's yet.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so the first one, I'm doing a little bit of housekeeping here on my computer, typing something down, part one, because we had to stop the recording for a second before.
Housekeeping. Housekeeping.
Okay, guys.
Okay,
so
Betsy MD. I got it. Betsy MD. Just a comment that I'm reminded of now with Real Housewives of New York in full swing. Your Carol voice reminds me of the hissing sound that the lizard-like slee stacks make on the Land of the Lost. Come to think of it, she kind of looks like one too.
It's just that I feel kind of lost because I've only got 5 summers left and I see all these other people like in bikinis, ready to be in bikinis for like 20 years. So,
Oliver Haskins asks, what do you think was the elevator pitch for Kyle's Nick at Night sitcom? Mm-hmm. I think it's actually for TV Land. I have trouble imagining a silly family sitcom about growing up with Big Kathy as a Mama Rose type character. So I keep envisioning a Muppet Baby's version of the Housewives. That's kind of funny. Richard's Babies. Sorry, go on.
Richard's Babies. One, they can't understand what's wrong with her. She keeps like bumping her head into a wall, like, you know, drinking things from under the sink.
Refuses
to wear clothes her own size.
I'm just imagining Kim Richards at Rolf's little piano, his little toy piano, just like playing and shaking her head.
Like, you guys are putting music over this, right? I was just hitting the plastic keys.
I'm just imagining Rinna as Animal, although I guess Rinna would not be in the family story, but I still imagine Rinna coming in as Animal.
Rinna. Every time Kim gets in trouble in school, you see Rinna's head pop up from the window. It's like,
I'm telling you, better own it, Missy. That's right. I'm watching you, Kim Richards.
Should be called Own It Mole instead of Animal.
I'm here to make sure Kim Richards holds herself accountable, okay? So I'm here, the neighbor from next door. It's Rinna, baby.
All this time I thought Nana was manipulating me, but it was Kim Richards, baby.
She's just the nosy neighbor from next door in every sitcom coming over. Oh, God. Lisa
Ren is here again. Emilio, go hide upstairs.
Who would be Gonzo?
The Muppets?
Well, Gonzo talks like that, right?
No.
Kind of.
No,
is
you're
lower.
He has more of like a thin voice, right? It's like Gonzo. Gonzo speaks more like that.
now I can only do that Ziggy Flicka voice.
Yeah, you're doing the voice you're doing is more like, I'm trying to think, who is that? You're sort of in the animal place.
That's Kermit.
You're Kermit. You're sort of in the Scooter Skeeter area.
Yeah. So, okay, then you do Gonzo.
That's animal. Gonzo. That's animal. I feel like Gonzo's Carlton or something. Like, like it's Carlton. I can just imagine Carlton's lips on her looking around, you know, sort of in a frenzy. You know, at the end of the opening credits, her diamond explodes in her face.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I think Yolanda is obviously Nana or Nanny, whatever her name was. You know, she just comes in like, would you please keep it down in here? I'm trying to rest.
Like the
one who ruins all. Well, Brandy's obviously Beaker.
Brandy's Beaker? Isn't Beaker the... Oh, yeah. Beaker's the me one. Who's the one... Scooter is the one who takes... No, Doctor... What's... No. Who is Beaker with? Dr. Bunsen.
Dr. Bunsen. That's probably like...
That's Yolanda.
That's the Swedish Chef.
I got the doctor and the chef
Doctor,
mixed up.
No, Dr. Bunsen is probably like... Dana. I don't know.
25,000, then everything explodes.
Yeah, because Dana and Brandy came on at the same time. They were like the two guests of friends of that season, and Brandy survived.
Yeah, Beverly Hills really does have some odd additions to the cast that they only use once or twice.
Yeah.
Like, they have a lot of one-season wonders on that one.
I feel like Lisa Vanderpump is Miss Piggy for sure. And I don't know who Joyce would be.
Joyce would be, I guess she'd be closest to Janice because she's like, hey, you know, Miss America, you know? Like, just her mouth kind of always open and smiley. Mm-hmm.
Well, who's Robin?
Her hair back.
Is Kyle Robin?
What's Robin?
I'm not Robin. Robin. I mean, I meant Kermit. Robin is Kermit's like little like sidekick.
Oh, Kermit. Kermit would be. I don't know. Kermit's too nice. I don't even think you could match anybody up to Kermit. He's just too nice to even be a housewife.
Is Kermit like Andy Cohen?
Yeah, he's Andy Cohen. He's like so pig. So Miss Piggy, what about those new boobs, huh?
Why are there so many new boobs on the couches?
Why are there so many songs about fucks I don't give? Okay, what's next in the bag?
Let's see. Oh, Betsy. We'll ask Betsy's second question on Thursday. Lauren Grabowski says, hi, guys. Are either of you watching Survivor this year? I'd love to know your thoughts on the season so far, who you're rooting for, and what you thought about last week's tribal with the mega idol said in a Liza voice, thanks, guys. Love you. Paralyzed.
Paralyzed.
The season's good. I think it's a solid middle-of-the-pack season of Survivor. I think it's been heating up lately. There have been some really good tribal councils. Some people thought last week's episode was the best of the season. I liked the one 2 weeks prior. There's some good gameplay, but... The two, they're like two villains, Jason and Scott, and they're just awful. I just can't stand them. And my favorite on the cast, here comes a spoiler alert. You have 5 seconds before I announce who got voted off this week. 2-1.
Lisa
Debbie.
Vanderpump.
Lisa Vanderpump. All right, I'm just the victim. Just vote me off Survivor. Lisa, you're not even on Survivor. Oh, don't you get and tell me what I'm not. I never said I wasn't on Survivor.
I've never been to a tribal before. These people are monsters.
But Debbie, I like Debbie in her kookiness, but she's gone now. So I think I'm rooting for Aubrey. You're not watching it though, Ronnie, are you?
I am not. Not watching it.
That's
nope.
Too bad.
It's too much. It's all the time. It never stops. It's like, hey, what's on TV? Survivor. It's on 2 times a year. It's too much. Go away. You're making me nervous. Like all that not eating.
Oh,
like
so
people
good.
Being mean to each other in the heat.
It's so good, although this season was a little rough because basically a lot of people got injured in really gross, disturbing ways. So there's that. But Survivor's still so good. So good to me.
Well, those shows kind of have started pissing me off because they have less real people. And I guess Survivor is one that still does have a lot of real people. So I'm kind of killing my own point. But
right.
Like Big Brother, by the end of Big Brother, I couldn't even anymore because it was just, you know, people who wanted to be on reality shows.
Right. Well, I'm still going to watch Big Brother, too.
Well, I am too.
Good. We'll probably talk about it a lot in the bonus episodes this summer.
Yeah, that's when I'm committed.
Coming back in like 2 months. So, Danielle, Riley, see now, Riley. Hey guys, I just have a request. I would absolutely love it if you could make a ringtone from last Tuesday's podcast when Ronnie said it's a little Plano in here, including Ronnie's whole laugh. I would be eternally grateful. I absolutely love you guys. You keep me laughing. Your podcasts and ringtones make my life more bearable. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, done. We'll do it. We'll have it up for the first one next month.
Yeah.
See?
Cool. Thank you guys.
Cool. All right. We'll ask the rest of the questions. We'll get to the rest of the questions on Thursday. Yeah.
Could you guys make a ringtone?
Meh.
So what you want to talk about today? We can talk about anything. You want to talk about the fight between Hillary and Bernie?
No.
You want to talk about the possible earthquake that hit Azusa last week?
No.
Okay. You want to talk about the Bible?
No.
I'm always here.
No.
I'm always here to introduce you to Jesus, okay?
I'm playing
a friend of a friend.
I'm playing my own improv game of no but instead of yes and.
As you have to. Okay, so what do you want to talk about first then?
Do you want to talk about Dallas first? Real Housewives of Dallas?
Yes, sure.
So funny.
I don't even care what order we talk about it as long as we do because that shit's killing me.
It is hilarious. I was a little concerned this episode because I was like, well, I know the season premiere, they got to put the good stuff in there. So that's like way more entertaining. And I was like, this one's a little slower. But by the end of the episode, I was still cracking up.
Yes, the thing that I mostly hate about the new Housewives shows in general is when they're trying too hard and like making up storylines and stuff like that, because it takes a while for them to really become themselves. On this one, maybe they're doing that a little. Like, there's the girl who's like, I poop everywhere, whatever, I say poop. You know, yeah. That's her thing. It's like putting poop everywhere. She talks about it 20 times.
Yeah.
But, and I get that she's trying too hard, but it's still just funny. And they're really showing themselves to be more and more monstrous every episode so far too.
Yeah,
but still
it's wonderful. So it begins with like a montage of like what all the housewives are up to at this moment, and we saw Leanne trying to get her dog to eat or roll over or do something, and the dog was just like not having it. I was like, wow, even the dogs are like not having Leanne. She's just that repulsive to them too.
You want a chewy stick? Oh, well, I guess you don't want it then. So, well, all right, that's fine. Because that's how you are, isn't it? That's how you are. This dog who doesn't want a chew stick. Okay, I get it. Mama gets it.
You know, in society, you always take a chew stick when it's offered to you. That's all right.
You know, one day you are going to be ready for the charity circuit, but not right now, mister. Now, go to your house.
I volunteered to get you this chew stick. And what do you do?
Some people get these little chewy sticks with their billions and billions of dollars that they use their boobies to acquire. But myself, I don't. I work, and then I go get those chew sticks by myself at Target, and I give them to my dog, and that is how I do it.
So then Brandy, who's the redhead, she goes to Marie's house. Marie is the friend of Leanne. She's the one who's like the tall, wealthy, scared friend.
I wrote Brandy, super tall, scared friend.
No, Maria is the super tall, scared friend.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. She went to, like, the super tall.
Yeah, she's super tall and scared. She's like a character out of, like, Coraline or something. So So Brandy, because she's a former Dallas cheerleader, goes over. And I liked how she told us about how she taught herself how to become a cheerleader. She's like, I went to the tallest hill I could find and fling myself down it. And I just, like, rolled down the hill until finally one day I could do a backflip. I was like, what?
One day, I jumped right off the top of a second roof building just so I could land on my neck and bend it enough to tongue my own cornhole. I don't care what nobody thinks.
She's like the dumb hick version of Erica.
I know. She really is. So so then they're after like the little teaching session, then the women start talking about,
Marie's like, I love your art form, but I would appreciate it if you didn't turn my daughter into a whore. Thanks for coming over. She's like, here's how to cheerlead. It's like grinding.
Little girl is so excited. So Marie is like, my look of fear now has two different dimensions.
And you just saw that little kid's face light up like,
wow! Here's how to make one boob go further than the others. Yeah, wow, mom.
So then afterwards, the women are like sitting down because it's Brandy and also the other girl, Stephanie. And with Marie. And Marie's defending Leanne. She's like, you know, there are like two Leannes. There's the one in public and the one in private. And I like both of them. And the one at home, she's really fun. She's really sweet. She's so fun. I wish you could see her. She looks so scared. She's like, oh my God. If I don't say something nice about Leanne on camera, she's going to slit my neck.
And she does it in the best Texas way ever.
Well, she's a little different, but, you know, both of the sides of her are just wonderful sides. And I hope that there comes a time when both of you, because you're both so funny, and I hope that there's one day when you can laugh at her and she laughs at you, and then you say, wow, there's a positive side of that person. Both of you say that. You know, let's hug.
Shut up, Marie. Marie's like, please don't break anything in my house, basically. That's Texas.
This scared, fragile woman. Then we go over to Carrie, who is this like the surgeon's assistant. And
wow, this is a big scene in Dallas history, by the way, because Carrie is automatically as awful as you could ever hope in this scene. She just totally comes through in this scene. God bless you. Well done, girl.
I know. Her like big moment of like humanism is that she like burns her finger on a toaster oven. She's like, I touched this part, not supposed to touch that part. How funny is that? I'm like, lady, you work in an OR. You should not be broadcasting this to America. I don't know what to touch at the toaster oven. Turns out that's a hot thing. I didn't know metal got hot too. I thought it was just my English muffin.
We have a charity to raise money for all the breasts that we've ruined by accidentally putting toasters inside them instead of being toasters. But you know what? I'm sorry. I just don't know how to do it, okay?
Oh, my God. And I loved Carrie's daughter who came in, Zuri. She like had these sunglasses on. She looked like a swanky old lady from the Upper East Side. I expected her to start like bossing everyone around.
Yes. She looked like a baby Sonya to me.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a good thing.
This is where this chick just becomes terrible. She's telling us about her husband, who her husband's a doctor, and he's so in love with her. He looks both terrified, but then when she's trying to be nice to him, he's like, like he gets so honestly happy and giggly.
Yeah.
And then Carrie starts talking about her life and how she met her husband. And she's like, well, you know, this is pictures of him. He used to be a big fat idiot with ketchup on his shirt, smelled like burps, but then he came across me and lost 80 pounds. You'd lose the weight, too, if you wanted some of this. And then so this whole thing, we get this whole fat shame angle from Carrie. And, of course, loved it, recognized it, saw it, hugged it, loved it.
Yeah, exactly. If there's any question about whether or not she married for money, she answered it right there. She's like, well, he was ugly as fuck, but I decided he had money, so I could just, you know, make him lose the weight. And then now we have sex.
Now, I mean, think about it. It's just about comfort. Would you want to fuck a sack of coins? Or a stack of hundreds. Same amount of money.
So then we go to Leanne, I believe, who she's there squawking as usual about how she's risen in society. She's like, I lived here for 16 years and no one knew who I was. But then I made the cover of Carne magazine and I'm a celebrity.
I was just a little girl who learned to bob for apples before she learned to do the Roger Rabbit. It wasn't just handed to me. Here I am. I am working.
Okay? To be fair, I also know how to bob for rabbits.
I bobbed for a rabbit named Roger one time. I swear to you, that thing figured out the mystery of my life. That's when I left the carnival.
They said do the Roger Rabbit. I thought they said do the bob for rabbits. I was like, okay, I'll bob for rabbits. Put all the hairs in there. Okay.
How I met my husband. Thank God I didn't know what they were talking about. He hates dancing. Why do I have this written down? You honestly don't know. Apple juice or leche? Good talk. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Oh, this is Carrie the Fat Shamer. I'm sorry. I'm back on accent. I'm sorry. Another obnoxious thing is she's like, well, my baby is going to know 20 languages. He right now is learning French, Spanish, Italian, and Jewish. You know, just ever in case we go to like a resort, you know, somewhere in Libya or whatever. Like this woman, I don't even know what it was because that's all I wrote down. But she's telling the baby, she's like, would you like some agua or some water or some leche? And the baby just looks at her like, shut up. She's like, good talk.
Yeah. I'm
horrible.
I'm like, lady, you don't know how to use a toaster oven. You're not going to teach her four languages.
So sorry for rewinding. Now Leanne is
she's hat shopping
carnival still.
So Leanne is actually hat shopping right now because there's this event coming up. It's like the Mad Hatters something or another, which is, you know, the Dallas society goes and wear crazy hats. And so we saw
the biggest event in Dallas society. Okay. I mean, look at my hat from last year, and they show it as this huge bush of like paper flowers or something. It looks crappy.
It's crazy. I mean, when it hangs on its thing, it looks like a giant flowery vagina.
It does.
It was like a big vagina.
I wish I didn't see that now. I can't unsee that.
Yeah, it's
and
there.
I can't unsee that hat in general now. Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, guess who won last year? For best botanicals. That's what she said.
Yeah. She was so excited. And then she starts talking about how this year is just, it's like the theme is like springtime in Paris. She's like, you know, you think April in Paris and it's just, she's like, you know, I really don't know. I've never been out of my carny circle. I really don't even know what Paris is.
I'll tell you what, April in Paris is hot. The carnival stopped there one time. That is a part of Texas nobody needs to see. Am I right, y'all? Ooh, I want air conditioner on my head. April in Paris.
You know what's hilarious is that I did a Google search on Leanne, and she's from a place called, I think it's called Pasadena, Texas. I'm like, yeah, that seems to make sense. Like, she's not even from, like, real Pasadena. She's, like, from, you know, fake fancy Pasadena in Texas.
That's so Texas, though. They're like, Paris, Texas.
Pasadena, Texas.
You know, it's just like tricking the stupid people into moving there.
Yeah.
I mean, we drove to Paris. I don't know what y'all are talking about with your long, fancy airline flights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's going over it with these guys who are designing it, and she pulled a Luann. She's like, these designers, people know about me and my hats because of the best botanicals win. And now people just want to do things for free because it is great publicity having me walk around in your hat. Like, Chanel, Paris, April, Paris, Chanel. It's like, okay, they're going to glue shit onto a hat.
Yeah.
Thanks for stopping by.
She is the biggest freeloader. I mean, this is an ongoing thing with her. And, you know, normally I would be like rooting for her, be like, yeah, you work the system. But she is so high and mighty about society this, society that. Lady, you are making Alex McCord look like the establishment, okay? You have to stop.
At the end of the day, society is basically saying, that's the crazy lady in a trailer park with two gigantic hats that cost more than a house.
She didn't even understand our passive-aggressive award we gave her last year for her hat. Best hat.
Best it was in quotations. Best botanicals. So the Giggle Twins are up next. Stephanie and Brandy. These girls. So one is the redhead devil.
Yeah.
And the other is just her shit-stirring friend.
Who is getting scared.
Like, and they're exactly the same.
One talks like that. And then one talks like this.
Stephanie is getting... You can see Stephanie is getting afraid. Stephanie's like... Oh, you're putting a plunger on your hat. Oh, we're still going to do... I thought you were just joking, but you're going to do this. Okay.
Well, I want to do something on my hat where people look at my hat and they say, that girl doesn't care. I'm going to put poop on there because then I love poop. You know, and then some people don't like poop. And I'm like, but, you know, poop is something we all do. And if you don't like your own poop, then you can't handle your own poop. You know what I mean? So poop on my head.
That was literally this whole scene.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was.
And then her friend's like,
yeah, you should do it because poop.
Her laugh was like,
I know. Yeah, she does that thing. Like, I know. I was trying, I wrote it down last week and then I couldn't do it on the podcast, but it is that thing. She's like, I can't do it. It's
and
like
I
a dolphin gasping for air.
I can't remember it. Yeah, but it's something like, I can't remember.
Now I'm just making myself cough.
And they are, so then it gets dramatic. And this part is another scene that would take years on a regular housewife where the best friends are already, they're like giggling. And she's like,
well, I wanted you to know that you know, after that whole fight with Leanne at the party, I just wanted to be honest with you. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? I sent an email to her, and Brandy's like, yeah.
She's reaching into her bag of poop. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm pooping on your chair right now. I dare you to say something about it.
So she's like, I wrote her this email, and basically she just wrote her an email saying,
Well, I'm sorry my friend was so mean. Please invite me to your parties again. Love.
Yeah. Whatever. Give me the Lisa Rinna. Yeah.
Very dramatic moment of staring each other down. And then Brandy was like, well, okay. The end.
She's like, don't involve yourself anymore. So then we go over to Johnny Resnick of the Goo Goo Dolls talking about inseminating cows in front of Tiffany.
Oh, God. At Leanne's house.
Yeah, that's so they're like this barbecuing.
So King of the Hill, wasn't it?
So King of the Hill. And he's like,
they even opened by talking about propane.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, back when I was on a cow farm growing up in Australia, I had to go stick one fisty in the cow's bum and stick another one in with the pipe and get the semen going. I had to get that cow going and get stirred up so that way I'd have a little baby sometime. And a few months later, that's what I had to do, inseminate cows. Real disgusting. And then the cop is like, well, one time I once had to dance. They said I won best legs and I had to dance on a table. It was embarrassing.
Did you not hear me talking about putting both my arms up a steer, mate?
I'm like, are you really going to follow up inseminating a cow with the fact that you won best legs? That's like supposed to like one up
everything.
That?
Everything that came out of everybody's mouth went up the last thing. Because it started with like, honey, propane, my husband likes his steak bloody. He likes it like roadkill. And he's like, well, speaking of steak, I shoved my arms up a cow. And then the other one's like, well, speaking of cows, it's like, how did you know when you were putting your arm in it if you were putting it in the butt or the vagina? I mean, how did you even know? Like, really, Leanne, you don't know the difference between a butt and a vagina, even on a cow. My God, lady.
Well, in society, one doesn't ask a cow before it penetrates a cow.
Yeah, and then someone who said this, I think the boyfriend was like, yeah, two arms. So what you did this morning, darling, that's nothing. Like, the hell? Now they're making arming each other jokes? Is that a thing?
Fisting. He fisted her.
Is that a Texas white thing?
Double just fisting a question.
Each other. Just a question. But we'll get to that later. So I think it was Leanne talking about getting fisted, right? I was like, wow.
I think it was Tiffany.
I don't even remember.
I don't remember either. Maybe it was Leanne. I don't know.
So back then we follow the Rockers home again.
Yeah. And Aaron wants to make five more albums. He wants to make five more albums. I'm like, what are these, like photo albums? Like, you're in Dallas. You have what is your plan here, sir?
Nothing says rock and roll like sitting down with a white plate of cut berries. What the fuck?
I know.
Seriously?
In your rental home.
Is there no cocaine on your block? Like, what are you doing? This is not rock and roll. Please write something else.
Flat iron hair from 1998.
That poor guy is over tanning. You can tell how stressed he is because he's already turning like that weird shade of almost brown orange.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's tanned his face. So then, of course, Tiffany's like, man, back being a model, I'll tell you, that sure was different. Models in L.A., endless parties, cocaine. Don't even get me started on the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah. That's just basically like her entire storyline is, don't get me started on the cocaine that I did. Don't get me started on all the money I blew up my nose. Don't get me started.
She's trying to do that innocent, get him on the offense, because I think she's the one that there's, I mean, obviously she's going to be the one that Raging there have been bitch. Stories coming out in all the blogs that she was a porn person or like a, you know, some kind of either softcore porn or some kind of porn, you know, like Camille Grammer kind of porn.
Mm-hmm. I believe that 100%.
Skinamax. So she's getting out in front of it. Which ain't the first time, is it, Dole? But she's getting out in front of it. She's like, oh yeah, back then I was just on so much cocaine. Woo-hoo! Woo! I wish I could explain to you all the things I did on that cocaine, but I won't. You'll read it in a blog. Let's move on.
Let's buy a mansion.
Yeah, so she wants to buy a house, and he looks like he wants to run, but of course he doesn't know how to get around town, so he's stuck there.
Yeah, he looks miserable. I mean, the thing is that Dallas is probably the best thing for him, because he will maybe, like, I feel like if he's in L.A., he will hold on to the dream of staying young a little bit longer. Whereas in Dallas, he'll eventually get rid of the flat ironed, highlighted, stripy hair. And
spoken like a man who's never been to Dallas.
Well, I figure he might just get a cowboy hat.
No. If he does, he'll get one of those cowboy hats like that Madonna let the gay people wear for that, you know, music video a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
The gay hat.
Yeah.
The gay straw hat.
Well, that would be an improvement. The improvement over Keith Urban.
Bless his heart. You know, at first I thought he's after this rich woman and this and that, but she's really not. She thought he was rich and he thought she was rich. Yeah. And now they're both realizing that nobody's rich. They're like, oh, yeah. My God, what are we going to do? Let's not talk about our fucking schedule this week. Let's talk about who's going to go to work. Like, what do we do?
Yeah. He's like, don't worry. I'll move to Dallas where her parents will pay for everything. He's like, oh.
Yep.
No. No.
Why is her mom still calling me doll?
Oh, Melbourne, come back into our life.
So then, meanwhile, in Brandy's world, her daughters are tired. Her mom's coming over for her birthday. Her mom was 15 when she had her. All that fun stuff.
Yeah, all that fun kind of stereotypical stuff. You're like, oh, wow, yeah. Shocked. The girl that needs to get attention. Screaming yeah. Poop. But she went into this whole thing about, like, happy birthday, mom. I love you. Enjoy your poop pie. I love poop. Remember how we all poop? Remember when I saw you poop? You're the best teenage pregnant mother poop. And she's like, Scooter.
Has anyone seen my husband? Anyone seen my husband, by the way?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of absentee dads on this.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. Absentee husbands.
But Brandy's got it bad. Because at least Stephanie's husband is like, oh, hey, could you destroy this wasp nest for me, please? Thanks.
but it was ultimately, yeah, exactly. There's one man doing it.
Have you noticed that,
that hit my brain later.
He's basically final destinationing her. Like last week it was like, hey, can you fix this thing with the garage door opener? And this week it's like, hey, can you go buy this like violent nest of wasps, please?
Hey, could you please fish plugged-in radio out of the pool for me?
Hey, any chance you could spruce up your knife juggling act? Thanks.
Hey, stand in front of the stand under the garage door and press close and make sure that it closes. Okay, I just need to make sure that little sensor's working properly.
Do me a favor. Can you test all the seatbelts on the roller coaster nearby? Thanks.
I think I left a spoon in the garbage disposal.
Could you reach in? Hey, I'm concerned about the elevator. It seems to be stopping in between floors. Could you see how long it takes to jump out of the elevator into the new floor before it falls down? Thanks.
I was really worried the other day because I thought, oh my God, I don't think my car's up to safety standards. Could you crawl in the trunk and make sure that when the door is closed, you can still pull a latch to get out? I want to make sure before I get home.
Hey, I was wondering, you know, you seem to be taking a long time cleaning the bathrooms and stuff. Why don't you just do everything all at once? Maybe just do the ammonia and the bleach all at once.
He's like, hey, honey, I put a pregnancy test in the bug zapper. Would you mind sitting on that?
Hey, the bandsaw has been acting kind of strange. Can you see if it's still sharp? Does it need to be sharpened?
The handsaw. Hey, honey, the handsaw is feeling a little lonely. Would you go shake its hand later this afternoon? Just want to make sure all my ducks are in a row.
Hey, honey, you know, you're taking so long getting ready. Why don't you just, you know, do your hair in the bathtub?
Poor thing. That poor girl. Girl who laughs funny. I got to get her laugh.
I know, me too. I try it and then I forget it by the time we get to this.
So this basic, the rest of the, oh, wait, we're on Carrie now. What are we talking about with Carrie? What does she do?
Nothing. We can just go right to the Mad Hatter's luncheon.
Okay, yeah, let's just go to the luncheon.
So,
I think was just glue gunning more poop on the thing.
Yeah,
right?
Brandy just made. Yeah, that's right. Brandy just made a crazy hat. She really. It was just a full on like homeless lady trash hat.
Yeah,
crazy. It looked like it had lint on it. It was a big old.
It was
nasty
like
hat.
A Mud People ballet concert.
Yeah, it was like the pack rat lady from Labyrinth. That was what that hat was. It was insane. There was like moss on it. There were shreds of who knows what, fake turds.
There was
dog
still
turds.
A homeless guy like on top of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, raising the baby alone so young, just like my mama did, that requires a pack.
She had little fake dogs on there. It was, but you know, so Leanne was already like angry. But I'm like, you know what, Leanne, you need to calm down because your hat looks literally like a stack of paint chips. Okay, like lead paint chips that fell off the windowsill. Either that or oyster mushrooms.
She looked like one of those, the top of her head looked like a Vanderpump Rules cast member was trying to make shapes with napkins, you know?
She looked like she was trying to, she looked like she was trying to balance a stack of Pringles.
Well, listen, I grew up in a carnival. Nobody just gave me Pringles. Okay.
I had to make them with our homemade Pringle press. So Leanne,
some people would be able to get a wig head. I stood there and spray painted these Pringles right on top of my own head. Okay. Because that's what you do when you're willing to work for it in society.
Oh, God. And then Leanne starts talking about, she starts saying, like, the Mad Hatter's tea party is attended by the who's who of Dallas society. And then they cut to a parrot. It's like, yep, here we are. Here is the head of Dallas society, a parrot. Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm probably more articulate. I wrote so many notes. I'm basically reading a book trying to get through. I just got to who's who of Dallas society.
Yeah, it was literally a parrot.
Okay, so this show is also amazing to me in episode two because they have the best off-camera people.
Yes.
Like, they'll show them the best extras because they're all horrible. Like, even the extras, mm-hmm. they had a cut to her, Brandy, with her poop hat walking by, and someone was like, "Please!" Oh, no, right when she walked in, that lady, first the lady goes, "Please tell me that you did not do that to yourself."
Yeah.
She's like, "I sure did." She's like, "Well, that is so creative. Send them over to my house. Come over to my house and help me, honey."
She's like, "It is so adorable." That's what she said.
Please tell me you did not do that to yourself. It's adorable.
It's adorable. She's like, "Yeah, my kids help me." That is adorable. Your trashy little kids, little street urchins they are.
And then another couple, the man goes, "I can't believe her husband is letting her do all this." And his wife goes, "Well, she is an ex-Dallas cheerleader." Best extras ever.
I think it was Leanne who said that about the cheerleading. I think Leanne
was. Oh, it was? I thought it was just some, you know, like husband talking to somebody off in the background.
Because this is Leanne's new angle on trying to shame her. She's like, oh, come here, cheerleader. Oh, is that what the cheerleader did? I'm like, Leanne, you realize like cheerleaders are like really high up on the pecking order in Dallas, even 40 years after high school.
Bueller's even standing up for the cheerleaders. He's like, watch it, Leanne.
Well, like, then Leanne still is. Everyone's taking pictures of Brandy's hat, and no one's taking pictures of Leanne's hat, and she's just getting angrier and angrier.
She's getting so mad. It was so good.
And she's like, "This event is a treasured event in this city." I'm like, Leanne, there are people wearing replicas of like Rio de Janeiro on their head, okay? It's nothing sacred.
And I love that she's pretending she doesn't even know she's in the room yet. And her friend is like, "Have you seen her hat? Well, there's that hat." She's like, "Yes, I saw that hat. And did you see the hat on that lady?" "Well, yeah, I saw that one. Did you see the cheerleader?" "Oh, what? The cheerleader's here? She has a hat? Oh, I hadn't heard about that. Tell me about that hat. Go ahead. Tell me, honey. Go ahead. Tell me all about that hat."
Like, okay, Detective Leanne. Carney Detective.
Carney Detective. And I liked how she kept on, like, her attempt to sort of, like, to mock Brandy was like this awkward thing where she's like, "You know what she did when she walked in here? It was like she said, 'Bitch slap, I'm here. Bitch slap, I'm here. Bitch slap, I'm here.'" Okay, Leanne, we get it.
"Bitch slap, I'm here. Bitch slap, I'm here. Bitch slap." That would be terrible. She really literally was doing that. Leanne is ready to go, but also it's not bugging me that this Brandy is so ready to go with Leanne either. What did Leanne really do? Like, she's a little too angry. Like, if you hate somebody that much that you have to like tape shit all over yourself.
Yeah, but it was still pretty funny when Brandy made fun of Leanne when she was getting ready. Remember, she's like, Brandy was like, Leanne's gonna be like, "What's up with that hat?" Mm-hmm. Every time she does the Leanne, I crack up.
Her fat Albert.
Mm-hmm. Look at that hat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Brandy was like a little over the top. Like, it wasn't quite funny enough. It wasn't outrageous enough. It just looked messy, you know.
She says poop too much. I'm sick of hearing about poop already. I'm mad at myself for having to poop sometimes now after this show.
Well, the best
you gotta love the parallels.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of poop talk in today's episode because it goes from this to Potomac. It's like now these shows have devolved into like poop fights.
I know, seriously.
Well, I dropped the poop. I just dropped a poop out the side of my head onto the floor. You think they're going to notice? And everyone's like, "Oh, girl, let's put some poop in somebody's chair. I'll do it." Like,
yeah, wow, I know.
Welcome.
I loved
I
loved when Leanne finally had a moment with Brandy, and she looked at Brandy's house like, "That is wonderful." Please, Leanne. Leanne, whoa, Leanne.
And I work for dog charities, and I want you to know, I sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, support dogs and their right to poop. But, you know, I just have to say, I've never seen a dog poop as artfully as anybody has on your head. I mean, that is amazing. Good for you, honey.
I love your pooping and your comedy and the way you mimic a dog poop so well. You are just a great mimicker. That's just what you are.
You can even mimic in dog poop form. That is amazing.
I heard that there was someone over here mimicking dog poop. I heard that there was a mimicker, a dog poop mimicker. I love that about you. I see your soul in your comedy.
I know the most famous pile of dog poop in Dallas. So, you know, if you're going to mimic some dog poop, maybe you'd like to show it to my famous friend, Dog Poop, okay? Get judged by some real dog poop. Big girl circle.
Well, then a turd did actually fall off the hat, and it was Carrie who went up and put it on Leanne's seat. And so then Leanne comes by, and she gets real mad, and she goes, she goes and she tattles to, like, these fancy gays. She's like, they are the most important people in this party. And they show this guy, this old foppish dandy. He was not even that old. He's probably like 37. And he has his hand on his chest, giving this look to Brandy like, well, I swear I have never seen such an event at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. So furious.
Once you tell, she's like, she's tattletaling, which she was. She's like, went up to the most famous gay person I knew. And I said, listen here, gay. That girl just did something really bad. He's like, really? She's that? Well, that's it. When you fuck with society, society fucks you in the whatever. Yeah. Leanne.
Well, she goes, look, I grew up on the carnival. I see people real clear. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? Why does, like, growing up in a carnival?
What was she saying? People trying to rob me, trick me. Like, isn't that what carnies do?
I know.
Literally describing exactly. Why people are afraid of carnies.
People are trying to throw baseballs at a stack of me to knock me over and my friends.
That girl's just trying to get me to throw a ball and try and hit a target so she'll fall in the water and I'll look like the drowner. Ain't gonna happen, Missy.
Listen, I'm a carny. I know, I can tell when someone's raising up a hammer to throw down to make a ball go up in the air and see how strong they are and make a bell go off. I know.
Listen, I'm from a carnival. I know when people are about to try and run me over with a bus because I lived on a bus for about 20 years.
You don't want to know how many skee balls I've rolled. It's a lot.
I know what's in front of, behind, under, and over, and inside of that bus, Missy. Don't even try it with me. Okay, so I thought she handled having poop on her seat fairly well. Or did she tattletale after that?
She tattletailed after that. She tattletailed because of poop. So she tattletailed to the connected gay. And then that was pretty much it. She was, you know, yeah, I've seen the last
night.
Except,
of course, Brandy's, I'm not sure what she's talking about now, because she's like,
my family donates thousands of dollars a year to charity, and no one's going to tell me what to do with my hat.
Like, you go. What a stand to make. Your shit hat. And who pays for that? Who's your family? Your husband or your mom? I want to know.
Yeah, exactly. Because as far as we can tell, your mom has been excommunicated from her family.
Oh, poor mom.
I know. Oh, look, it's the landline at the Mandelker
Residence. Well, there you go. What perfect timing. You take the call off and we'll come back to finish it.
Okay. Okay, we're back. The phone call has been handled. It was my mother. She's coming home in an hour to make halibut. So
that was your mother? Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's coming home to make dinner.
Business.
No, it was my mom. But then I went and got myself a snack because I'm starving.
Well, I got a snack, too, actually. I had one of those tamale things. Oh, thank you, by the way, Sprouts. Love ya.
Stop it. You're making me so jealous. Should we go on to the Shahs of Sunset?
Let's do it.
Wait, before we do the Shahs of Sunset, though, I would like to do something. You know what I would like to do?
Well, what, Ben? Anything you want.
How lucky are you to have me teach you about me?
Clear the phlegm.
Clear the phlegm.
Clear the phlegm.
It is time to clear the phlegm. I don't think we did it last week. So let's see what
we
is
sure
going
did.
On. We did?
Yeah, she was on a trip in Japan or something.
Oh, yeah. Well,
look,
she's
it
always...
is a bowl of noodles. I'm still here. How lucky am I to be in a land where noodles are served to you 10 times a day?
How lucky are me? No, army. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm delirious here.
Lying in the sun in front of fan and behind air conditioner. Oh, how lucky am I?
Well, Caroline Fleming is back from her Asian vacation, and she is back to doing her usual things like yoga in the living room, etc. Her latest picture from, I believe it may have been earlier today, it was from 9 hours ago, is her walking on the street, and she says, "How gorgeous to be back and enjoy weather like this. Not bad! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Hashtag sunshine in hashtag London. Hashtag glorious day. Hashtag lucky at Thela Blanc. Hashtag new tote. Hashtag bag at Deb Sawaf. You are so talented, my darling. Well done and congratulations with yet another exquisite collection. X space X."
This has been sponsored by the Weather Channel and purses. I'm always trying to figure out who's paying for these. Like every time she posts one, I'm like, who's paying for this? This one, when you mentioned that she's doing yoga in the living room, but she's doing yoga in a mat on a, you know, on the carpet, and she's holding one of those big hoops.
It looks like, like a Mario Kart steering wheel.
Yes, like a Lala earring. Yeah, like a Mario Kart steering wheel. And she says,
"A Truby app. Without you, I would never have worked out today. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. At Sasha Wawowski or whatever. Thank you for great hashtag Pilates hashtag session space dash space. The month of pure indulgence is painful. Exclamation time for let's just say exclamation point. And then cry face emoji. Cry face emoji. No noodle. Cry face emoji. X space X. Girl. You'd have more stretches to do if you'd shut the fuck up. Do your stretches. Stop typing all these X's.
One last one. It's her holding up her own cookbook and smiling at the camera. And she goes, "Just walked in through the door after a very delayed flight and no sleep for 36 hours to this. Whoop, whoop. First time I hold my new cookbook in my hands. So thrilled and grateful at Lindhard Grinkhoff. Thank you for publishing another wonderful book for me. X space, X space, X. Hashtag no filter."
What does that mean, no filter? What did she say that was crazy?
She's like, look at me, cookbook. Everything I'm holding on the cover is hashtag green onion. Hashtag yellow bell pepper. Hashtag radish. Hashtag white onion. What else is that? What is that other thing?
It looks like a cantaloupe.
No filter, crazy rebel vegetable eater.
Whoop, whoop. Look at me. How lucky are you to have me whoop it up with you?
The rebel of 2016. You want to go to the bathroom and snort some bell peppers with me, darling?
Anyway.
Clear the phlegm.
Clear her.
Yeah, she's
okay,
clear.
What's up next?
Shaz. Let's do Shaz.
That's crazy.
That's so Persian.
Mike's big, crazy. Do you want to go through this scene by scene or just go through the basics? How would you like to do it today?
I mean, I took a bunch of notes, but I can do if you were
all right, feeling, let's go. Let's
we could do the, we could do the basics though. I'm whatever you wish.
Well, I could go either way too. We could just go person by person because we can probably get it all in. It's not like anything groundbreaking happened, but
So my
basic macro note is only a show this soulless where someone would try to redeem themselves
with souls.
By selling souls. I mean, come on.
Yeah, so Mike's big thing is that he's announced that he is now making shoes with a guy who looks like Tilda Swinton. He's quote unquote giving real estate.
He
is quote unquote giving real estate a break. Like, yes, I'm sure you are giving real estate a break. It was your choice. Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, the bus all those benches with his face all started just like
peeling
off, foreclosed on.
But like to me, what was so obnoxious is that he just spent an episode talking about how he spent this much money on that and that much money on that. You know, Tom Ford, tuxedo and a photographer and this and that and hundreds of thousands of dollars, da da da. And now he's here saying, like, oh, well, you know, I'm still suffering from the 2008 financial crisis. I'm basically still in debt, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, don't go bragging about, like, don't have this excessive wedding and then you're here stealing straws from the Jamba Juice.
Pretty much. Well, that's what he was saying. He's like, look, I've already declared bankruptcy once. I cannot declare bankruptcy after this wedding. I have to do something.
Yeah.
You only get it one time. I don't know if he declared bankruptcy. I'm just assuming that if he had all that debt and he was still able to have a wedding, that something happened.
I mean, one of Mike's fatal flaws is that he can't help but keep up with the Joneses. He falls into that so badly, and he's just so bad at it. He's really bad at it.
And his Joneses are so stupid. Like, his Joneses yeah. don't even have, like, a house and a pool and 2.5 kids. They're not like the Joneses, you know? They're people who just, like, shoes too much. It's stupid. He's a dude. He's like, you know, like, I really want to have, like, my empire, you know? That's what I'm doing. I'm, like, building my empire, you know? So I quit real estate for shoes. I'm like, what? What do you mean? Like, you literally quit building an empire right now to sell yeah. shoes.
Yeah. Everything is so misguided. I mean, you could see the fear just dancing along in Jessica's eyes as she's just like, and she finally was speaking some sense. She's like, you know, I had this realization that you and I are really bad with money. Like, we're really bad. Like, that rhinoceros in the backyard, we should not have gotten that.
Babe, but it's like things like $400 at Target, you know, that's the thing. Like, we go buy all this stuff at Target, babe. What are you getting at Target every month?
I know.
Stupid Jessica is the one who actually buys, like, the chairs from Target. The shit that costs $5,000. You're like, how is this supposed to be Target? Like, Barstool, $175. Fuck off your Target. Jessica's buying that shit.
Yeah, she certainly is. I think Mike needs to take some lessons from Shervin, because Shervin is a stand-up guy for now. I say for now because inevitably we'll see how awful he is. But for now, he's, like, successful, or at least fake successful. And he has a good head on his big manly shoulders. You know, he's
one
like...
Thing. Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, he's like... He seems to be the only one who can reason with Gigi, who is on a drunken bender right now.
Well, they've all been in that situation, but he's the only one that still has patience with it. Everybody's had that talk with Gigi. Gigi, you're just crazy and maybe too drunk, and maybe you need to stop trying to stab people at parties. And she's like, yeah. And, you know,
I don't like having...
It. He's just the latest.
Yeah, and I love that he's actually announcing it as if he's making some bombshell revelation. He's like, I think that sometimes she crosses the line. I think that's one of her problems. It's like, really? Have you ever seen seasons one through current season? Like, sometimes she crosses the line? Like, she left the line in the past a long time ago. It's like, I think that maybe she drinks a little bit too much.
Yeah, you think? Do you have Periscope, serve?
And Gigi knows exactly how to, you know, she, at this point, she's like a trained monkey. She'll just be like, well, you know, I don't like feeling feelings. It's like, shut up, Gigi. Like, she has the exact thing to say. I just get so angry.
Illness, you know, it's like her feelings about her illness is this hasn't been going on forever. It's like the new Bravo thing. Everybody's going to have one. And hers isn't fake, so I'm not saying that, but... It's still like, my arthritis, man. That's why I want to, like, kill people and stab them in the face. It's like, she gets too wasted in the club and she's falling all over and about to fuck some douchebag. Yeah. It's just going really badly. And Shervin outside is like, look, I like this crazy Gigi and I also like the normal Gigi. I like both the Gigis and I want you to know that. And she goes, well, I want for one day, just one day for you to feel like what it's like inside my body, man. And she starts shaking the police grating like she's about to lose it, man. Like rheumatoid arthritis, you don't get it, man. Get it. Like, whoa, I was afraid you would punch me, but you know, that's out. Just don't kick me, okay?
Well, I think that's an improvement over what she was saying earlier in the club, which was more or less just, I need some alcohol. Like, she just needs alcohol. The guy's like, hey, the guy goes to hit on her. He's like, hey, man, let's do like rock, paper, scissors, okay? If you win, you get to slap me. But if I win, I get to kiss you. She's like, I need some alcohol. He's like, whoa.
Come with me, buy me something. The fuck part of town are we in, man?
Yeah. But I think that Shervin, though, what's good about Shervin is that he's level-headed and he doesn't condescend to women, which is what Mike does. He really, really condescends to women, which is too bad because I think he does have occasionally he does have a good perspective on things, but he also has a terrible perspective, like the thing that he thinks that with his sneakers that like it's gonna make a guy look so cool that he's gonna get like some girls gonna like walk up to him and like give him a blowjob. And he literally says, this is in my quote, "One day a guy is going to high-five me because he got laid because he had some dope sneakers on."
Yeah, Mike, totally. Yeah. I love Mike. Mike's stupid quotes, and he's telling the guy selling, he's like, "Yeah, man, because this is a change, and this is where it's everything's going to be different because I need this, and the inside of me is like the inside of the dream of the shoe." You know what I mean, man? I'm like, why are you trying to sell it? You're paying this person, okay? Yeah. What are you trying to sell? It's like when you're trying to be nice to the car dealer. That guy's trying to be nice to you. Stupid,
yeah,
Mike.
Exactly. Mike. Listen, Mike.
But also, on Shervin, it's easy for Shervin to have a good perspective because he lives in a beach house. He literally has a good perspective. He's staring at the ocean.
Yeah, he does. By the way, I want to start up a new podcast called On Shervin. It's just thoughts on Shervin.
Yeah, just random things.
It's like a very serious podcast. It's academic.
It's easy for him to write his own fairy tale. He could hire a fairy tale writer. That, you know, he just signs his name to it.
Just saying. Just Shervin. Hanging. Just Shervin.
I predict that Shervin and his boyfriend are going to become the old gays from Melbourne.
Or Cheshire.
And they're just going to be causing shit because in this one, after the club and everything, they sit down with Gigi. And it's like they're sitting at the beautiful ocean view of his mansion, which I still don't know how he earned. But
yeah,
his parents, right? It's family money.
I'm assuming.
Which either way, you know, money is money. Why judge it? But they're sitting there and they're both like, "Oh, Gigi, you know, you just have to take care of it. Yeah, just calm yourself. Just take care of it. Maybe just say." It's like, oh, my God, I love these in the closet Persian versions of those old queens from Cheshire.
I know. Soon they'll be wearing turtlenecks.
That is a naughty girl. Didn't invite you to her opening, eh, darling?
I thought Shervin and his boyfriend were going to be good friends of mine, but they're snakes and gross like everyone else. I should know that friends of Dawn's not friends of mine. I don't know what I do with friends of mine. I chop off their heads, and if they're still walking around, I put them in balaclava. It's not even balaclava. That's what you do with friends. That's what you like.
Gigi's just angry to people because of arthritis. No one understands until they have it. I'm always yelling at gay boyfriend here whenever it gets cold outside. And he just says, "Oh, it's cold. #arthritis. #bell pepper.
I can't believe that Gigi would talk about her arthritis during my daughter's performance. Darby's singing up on stage. She's talking about arthritis. I was this close to kicking her out of Darby's performance. But then I thought, no, she's got arthritis."
Oh, Cheshire. Gigi would make as much sense on that show as she does on this one.
I know.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, for real. For real.
Since we're going three piece by, you know, like different pieces at a time, yes. Just scrolling through, I just saw MJ and Douchebag. Can we please talk about MJ and Douchebag?
Yeah.
We open with them in the car somewhere.
Tommy.
And they're passing under a billboard for the TV show Tyrant, which is
Yeah,
hilarious.
I noticed that too. Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, I have to say,
baby,
I was kind of in agreement with Asa, who said that he is like this really obnoxious, but like sort of charmingly obnoxious. Not that I find him charming, but I kind of like the guy. Is that weird?
Yeah, let's go to your pot. Let's go meet your ma. Yeah, it sounds like a hot bitch to me. Vita. Yeah, you give me Vita. You know that means life. You're like people who I grow up say that after they get some pussy. Am I right, Vita?
Well, here's the thing. Before they even went to Vita, they took Ziggy, who is Vita's dog. They took Ziggy to get clean and get some like pink dye on. And by the way, MJ wore these green heels, these bright green gumball heels. Like, I don't know whether to praise MJ's fashion or run for the hills. I just don't know. But it was a bad sign because I don't know if you noticed it. They took this little dog to Barkingham Palace, which was last seen
Talk
on Tabitha.
Writing your own fairy tale. Fucking yeah. MJ ends up in Barkingham Palace.
Exactly. Barkingham Palace, which was on Tabitha Takes Over. It was such a dysfunctional dog grooming place. Remember, it was like those two lesbians were running it and they like hated each other. And one was like on a power trip. The dogs were shitting and peeing everywhere. I was like, of course, this is where MJ would take the dog, which is actually kind of genius because it's the most wonderfully passive aggressive thing that she could do to her mother's other daughter.
Oh, yeah. She even said that. She's like, well, it's like my mother's other daughter, but she doesn't call it fat, and she's really nice to it, and, you know, she doesn't kick it.
So. Yeah. But you know, thank God for MJ, because she was also the voice of reason this episode, because Reza invited MJ and Asa over, and once he was done revving them up to hate Gigi again this season, he was then like, okay, so here's my idea. This is like, it's like so Persian. We're gonna go to Palm Springs just for dinner, and it's gonna be like, surprise, it's a wedding, and like, bitch is gonna have a wedding there. And Asa was like, yeah, Rez, that's great, Rez. And MJ's like,
yeah, babe,
no.
That's a great idea, babe. They go through their whole babe thing. Babe.
And MJ was like, are you crazy? Which is funny, because MJ was the one last season who was pushing Reza to have the crazy bachelor party. And this time she's like, you are bonkers. Like, this is Adam's day too. You can't do that. It's so wrong. And it's Asa who goes, yeah, but Reza's the man of the household. I was like, what happened to your veil protest in front of the Vegas seafood buffet on Hollywood Boulevard?
Well, it's consistent. She said that a veil is a woman's right to express herself. And it's like, come on, really? It's not just a veil, but that's used to oppress women. Why are you standing up for that? That's crazy. So it's surprisingly consistent with her.
Yeah, I guess so.
She's like, I'm an independent woman, babe, but, you know, I do it with my parents' money. So, like...
Says the woman who is like, you know, has a burgeoning caftan business where when people buy the caftans, she stuffs them into a priority envelope like a piece of Pillsbury farm dough. I don't know
it's
what
like
I'm trying to say.
Things you have to let it like deflate first.
Yeah, it's like
take
she just
it out
like,
of the bag.
It's like that's not if you buy a caftan for whatever amount of money, you don't want it to show up in a priority envelope like a third rate Etsy. Expense. It should
especially
be like in a box.
Probably the same material.
Yeah, or not a box, but it could just be like a big envelope with the bubble wrap, you know, like just not a priority envelope.
I ripped my caftan thinking it was the envelope. Damn it. Two stars on Amazon. She's like, babe, I don't understand these reviews. So MJ's advice about, I think MJ was right.
Because, yeah.
I mean, obviously I agree. You can't just plan a whole wedding and take away the bride's options.
Yeah.
Her biggest day of the year or whatever. And I think it was kind of consistent, again, with her bachelorette party stuff, because that was Reza's day, so he can do whatever the fuck he wants at his bachelor party, even though I thought it was gross. I'm just saying it's consistent from an
You're right, it
perspective.
Is. Yeah.
It's my day, babe.
My day.
Adam and Reza. Oh, lordy. What the hell with these two? Reza, Adam is in that period, which I think is hilarious, with men and women when they enter this period where they're like, you know what? Everything's been about him this whole time. And like, that's not cool. So I'm going to make my voice be heard. And then next scene, I'm talking.
He's like, oh, look at you. You're talking. Are you done talking now?
Yes.
Oh, good. You show him, buddy.
Yeah. Good old. I love when Tim Gay gets a little feisty.
What if I don't want to buy a house? Well, first of all, no one's asking you to buy a house with your island's money. Reza can buy a house.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Get out of here. I don't even think it's a man versus vagina thing. I think the one who's paying is like, buy the house. Just buy it. Why are you complaining? This is what you're going to take a stand on, not getting a free house.
By the way, I want to point out that Tame Gay is so tame that he doesn't even do carrot cake. He's like, no, it's too much. They went to like that shop, and he's like, I'm sorry, I don't do carrot cake.
If I wanted
too
a
wild.
Party in my mouth, I'd go to a bathhouse, and everybody knows I will not do that.
The only way I'm going to do carrot cake is if you put it in some gym shorts and let it walk around. Is that carrot cake in your pants? That's so hot.
I wouldn't eat a carrot cake even if it wasn't wearing underwear.
Yeah. Speaking of cake, one thing that I thought that was funny was when Asa had everyone over for dinner, some of them like made like a little birthday spread for MJ, and when they came, they lit the candles and everything. And as they started to head outside, everyone was gathered outside. And as like Reza walked out with the cake, they start singing like "Happy Birthday," and it was like, "Uh oh, here comes a cake!" And a cameraman just went running away. I don't know if you saw that, but you could see in the background. The cameraman's like, "Oh shit, I've been this way before. Shaw's Sunset cake. I am out of here." He
That's
ran
why there's
so
no
fast.
Documentarians on the set of SeaWorld.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting away from Samuel.
Once that cake started coming to the porch, he was gone. I think I quit. Going back to the BBC.
Oh, this cake. This show, they immediately start this party, I mean, they immediately start talking about each other every time somebody leaves, which is so funny.
Yeah.
Who went to the kitchen first? And they're like, well, what do you think about that, babe? And then someone came back. Well, what do you think about MJ? Well, what do you think of this? What do you think of that?
What do you think about Reza's barcode shirt?
Oh, Reza. Reza's into some weird pattern.
He likes his patterns.
Punk hair thing. I'm not sure what's happening over there.
He likes his patterns as much as Asa likes licking some lids.
Oh, Asa. Look at the spread, man. This is how we did it because, you know, when our people came here from Iran, that's my people are like 50, you know, 50,000 years old. So we party, you know, like we know how to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the thing is with Asa is that the one thing she's been able to do consistently well from season to season is put out a nice spread. And it's strange to me that she keeps on doing all these other ridiculous entrepreneurial things. Why not do a cookbook? Like, that would be a cookbook I would legitimately, you know, possibly buy. it would have like some authenticity as a product. It'd be like, oh, we've seen her made all this beautiful food. She talks about food all the time. She knows the food. She loves to explain it. Why are you not doing a cookbook? I mean, the caftans are nice. This is your best ideas yet so far. But the diamond water, the films, the experimental, this and that. Like, why are you not making a cookbook?
Well, it should have like a cookbook with a caftan inside for you to wear when you gain the weight from eating all the food in the cookbook.
Yeah, exactly.
Brand.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. What else happened here? Well, MJ.
Well, MJ and Tommy. Well, so the dog came out, by the way, looking all pink and polka dotted. And then MJ and Tommy went to go meet with Vita for dinner.
Are they here? I don't see them. Are they here? Like, yeah, they're over there. She's like, oh, God, MJ, look at you. Oh, God. Oh. Are you calling me fat? Well, you didn't lose weight, that's for sure.
And then she eats a bite of food in the most shitty way possible. And then meanwhile, the waitress comes over and, you know how you're always saying how waitresses are always trying to get their 5 seconds of fame on these shows.
Yes.
This waitress could not have been more opposite. She's like, I cannot believe I have to appear on camera in front of these fools. She's like, drink water. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Because, you know, Vita was probably mean to her on the way.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you could bring me a glass of water and maybe put your face in it first and clean it so I don't have to look at it, okay?
You call this a table? It is not about you, waitress. This is about me at the table.
Okay, you want order? I say shut up. You shut up, okay? That's what I say. This is my order.
I loved how mad she got about the dog when she saw that Ziggy had that crazy pink polka dot pattern.
Oh, God.
This is
how
not right. In Persian culture, you give back things in proper condition. This is not a joke. This is an animal.
This is my child. This is not a joke. This is not... My child is not someone to be left at.
I'm like, really? Because that's kind of what you make, MJ. This is so sad.
Yes.
This is too on the nose, psychologically telling.
You raise a daughter who freezes her dead dog. Okay, this is what you've done.
Right? For
you're not one to you're not one to talk about proper customs.
Thank God for Tommy. I think that if God does watch reality shows, it's this one. He's like, send Tommy to Vita.
Yeah.
I declare thee. Tommy's like, hey, what's up, Vita?
Yeah.
What's going on, hotcakes?
Oh, this is what I'm telling MJ right now. You know, look at you. You don't look so fat, but you're eating all the time. You're trying to make her eat all the time, too. You bad example for the eating of the MJ. It's like, yeah. Ah! She's hot. She's got a hot ass no matter what it is. Huh?
I like the way she looks. I think she's hot. I'd fuck her right now on this table if I could. She's like, it is not fine. It is not about you. What are you? What are you anyway? Certainly not a ping pong champion.
I may not know how to play ping pong, but when I'm inside your kid, I feel like a thermometer inside a Christmas ham. It's perfect.
Oh, you put in ham. This is terrible.
He's not good match, I can tell. This is a gift I have.
And MJ, yes. He is no good match, I'm telling you, MJ. This a gift.
Didn't you like run away from your family when they were like 10? I don't think that's a gift. I think that's just like thinking everyone sucks and then fucking them over and running away. Lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Vita's the worst and also the most hilarious.
Yes.
And MJ, typical MJ answer. Yes, she's mean and horrible to me and semi-abusive, but it's only because she loves me. Aww.
She wants the best for me.
what every Lifetime movie was built on. God bless you, Shaws.
God bless you. God bless all of you.
What are you? What are you, this Tommy?
What are you with this shirts and pants? What is this? This is, you call this clothes? It's very simple.
Most Bravo shows go from party to party. This show goes from meal to meal. Like,
yeah.
Not even like, let's have lunch. It's just them, I don't know, the afternoon, let's meet at a donut shop and eat some donuts. Okay, and then let's go get some tacos. And then it's like someplace they're going to ingest something.
What a life.
And now we're at the bakery.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Well, I think that's
the bakery. Okay, we'll take one of those, and we'll also take one of those. Do you have any of those green donuts filled with cream? We'll take that. Do you have frozen yogurt? Great. Do you have any challah bread? We don't eat it. Not Jewish. Okay, whatever you've got, throw it in.
Like, damn, boy, was this an afternoon snack? Calm down over there.
No carrot cake for Adam. No carrot cake.
You don't like carrot cake, babe?
I've told you that.
Oh, okay, sorry.
There, I made a stand. I made the carrot cake stand today.
As Reza puts away the carrot cake in a chevron pattern.
Sorry.
So they talk about the future marriage or whatever, and Reza is just basically placating Adam, who mm-hmm. is getting himself worked up into a tizzy fit because he feels like he needs to make a stand on TV.
Yeah.
But he can't think of a stand to make. So yes. Reza's like,
you still want to get married?
Well, not unless you treat me like, you know, before you hurt my feelings, like back then.
He's like, it's been a year.
Don't tell me how long it's been.
You're right.
I told him.
Yeah, it was a pretty dull confrontation. It was, yeah, I mean, basically, Adam was like, marriage doesn't mean the same thing to me anymore as it used to, and it's been ruined, and you have to work your way back. And Russ is like, okay. Then the show just basically ended. You're like, oh.
Yeah. Can I eat your croissant? You eating that?
So that was pretty much the episode. It was really worth it for Vita and Tommy. That was the best part by far.
Oh, so good. What a hot piece of ass.
I don't like this kind of talk from this time. What are you? What are you, Tommy?
It's not about you. Mom, that's not fair of you to say. Who said anything that had to be fair?
Yeah, she's like, what is this fair? Who? Fair? What? What is fair?
Nothing is fair.
What is munchies? So, Real Housewives of Potomac, yes. Reunion Part 2.
Yes, Reunion Part 2. Time to wrap it all up. So,
Andy's like, hey, welcome back to Part 2 of the reunion. Everything is about how black I am. I was like, oh, geez, here we go. It's like the first sentence. Let the man just say hello.
I know, exactly. And the funny thing is how it all diffused so quickly. Robin's like, I just had to ask a question. That's all. I just wanted to know. I just have a question. He's like, oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sorry. I didn't mean to call you dumb.
When I was asking, I was just trying to become educated.
Oh, well, in that case, you know, I'm all for education charities. So you're forgiven. And mm-hmm. you're only half as dumb as I called you.
Yeah. But it was kind of funny. I mean, Katie was winning the argument more or less. But she did wind up proving Robin and Giselle's point, which is that she said that, well, let me back up. I think Giselle finally articulated her point better, which is that if you were to get arrested, if you were to, you know, be, you know, to commit a crime, then you'd be seen as black Katie, not white Katie, you know? And that's sort of like the reality of it. And Katie's like, well, yeah. And, you know, when I did get a ticket, I was black Katie. And so then Robin's like, see, you had to click, you had to check a box. And Katie's like, yeah, well, my kids don't look black, so they don't have to do that until they're older. It's just like, I was like, oh, Katie, no, I know what you're trying to say, Katie, and you're saying it all wrong.
Well, don't they all? I mean, what is anybody even talking about? I mean, I Giselle should have come out as the biggest winner because she had most plates hurling at people's faces through this whole thing. But she just looked like, none of them really came out well in this. I did like Katie coming out punching just every time they spoke with Katie. She's like, and then guess what she did to me? It's like, you go, angry Katie. Yeah,
she was going, and then she like randomly like, oh, but I apologize. I'm sorry I called you a stupid fat pig.
They're like, oh, it's okay. We'll talk soon. Another one who was trying to come out was Charisse.
Charisse. She's so stupid.
Just ask stupid everybody, Charisse. Andy. I'm crazy. I'm schizophrenic. And so sometimes, oh, you're not helping yourself here, lady.
Yeah. And then she's like, well, Eddie and I don't talk about divorce, But he's not living at home. All we do is we talk about the kids and the weather, and that's it. But we're not going to get divorced now. I'm like, well, what happened to all those freaking new chapters you were starting, like, for the past 3 or 4 weeks? Like, how many new chapters, and we're still at the same place?
Unfinished book. Chapters can be read right now.
It's a mute point.
And then, of course, Giselle tries to take all of this not divorcing things, and she's like, well, then are you going to stop sending us skank-ass messages about your divorce? And make it this huge fight. And apparently Charisse was sending everybody texts saying, stop talking about my divorce to try and make yourself relevant, which is so Charisse to say. I actually believe that went out of Jizz's mouth.
And Giselle called her a pit bull at one point, and then I guess the word pedigree got in there somewhere, and Charisse is like, I'm not a pedigree. You're a pedigree. And then she didn't even know what it was. She's like, it's an animal, right? A pedigree? I'm like, oh, jeez.
It's on the cover of a big bag of food for pets, and there's like a pedigree next to it. Like, you know, those little pedigrees.
Charisse also had a great linguistic moment later on when she called Giselle narcissistic. I think Karen said, well, I think we're all narcissistic. And Charisse's like, not me. And then she has this whole thing about, like, being narcissistic means that you tear other people down to bring yourself up. It's like, no, Charisse, that's...
Like, no, it doesn't. She goes, look it up.
And they looked it up, and she's like, that's not right. It's like a dictionary. She's like, that's not right. And she's like, well, that's what it says. She goes, it doesn't really matter what you think. She goes, it doesn't really matter what you think, does it? I'm like, well, that is the pure definition of narcissism right there, actually, Charisse. It doesn't matter what you think.
Well, you know what I think about Karen? I look at Karen and I think, there's a woman, like, she's got a lot going on that's not real.
And Andy goes, what do you mean? And Karen says, oh, I think she's calling me delusional, which, you know, if I had to call her something, I would say she's General Custer trying to make a last stand, like a snake in the grass who's going to bite. Like, okay, so General Custard is a snake in the grass. Who's about, what the fuck kind of school do these women go to? These are the dumbest women.
He's a narcissistic. Listen, I like custard specifically, not generally.
I do not allow a General Custard into my parties. Now, maybe a President Custard. Those are always welcome. Love a presidential custard, but
General Custard was trying to live out a male fantasy by crashing our military dreams.
And then Black Bill Gates is like, now, Michael, you know that when you invited my wife on that trip, that you had some sexual fantasy going on.
I mean, I think we all had this with Michael, and he's like, what sort of sexual fantasy would I have with Karen?
Why would I do that? I've got a teenager at home. Why'd I be worrying about some old slaggy Muppet? Now, that's not nice, Michael.
Even when the men came out, and then Michael did bring his gay bitch out too, which I loved. He's like, well, here's what I think. You're rude and you ain't got no manners. So what do you think of that? In Australia, we're all patting each other's bums and saying nice ass. Hey, if I saw a dick walking across the street that looked nice, I'd suck it. Not because I'm gay, but because I'm a nice Australian neighbor.
You work out, Andy? You look like you work out. Let's see. Why don't you flex a little bit?
Andy's like, I feel bad that he hasn't grabbed my butt. Poor Andy. It's probably true.
Yeah, it is. He was speaking the truth there. Don't worry, Andy. Someone will grab your butt soon.
Bisexual, not desperate then, doll.
Yeah. Katie Peter Pants. That's the other news. She wants Pete on a couch.
This is the huge Giselle. Another war moment declared by Giselle. They were talking about the drug stuff that Giselle's spreading around after that party where Katie showed up wasted and made out with Andrew. And now she's telling everybody she's a drug addict and has been ever since and is tweeting it and this and that. So they're fighting about that. And Giselle's like, how dare you? And then Charisse goes, that's not nice to call people names. Like, I don't tell people you're a slut. So it went from, like, peeing. Because Giselle was like, what if I told your secrets about how at that party, you want me to tell it? Okay, then fine. I'm sorry, Andy. I won't tell it. She peed on a couch. God. That's the show now. On a couch. She's had three babies and she was laughing.
And by the way, the award for worst attempt to gain a second season on the show goes to Charisse, who, as they're lifting up their champagne glasses, she's like, oh, excuse me. I forgot to mention, Eddie doesn't talk to me anymore because of the show. So if you want to use that in season two, you know, you can be my guest.
I love how nobody even cared. They were like, wow, but you were always talking about it. Okay, cheers. Anyway, cheers.
Yeah, and Andy's like, why didn't you mention this 3 hours ago? I don't know. I thought it was a mute point.
You stupid pedigree. Don't be a general, Andy. Don't be a general.
Don't be a General Custard.
Now, General Tiramisu. Anytime.
Colonel Pudding. I like Colonel Pudding.
Colonel Snickers, always welcome in my town. That's candy. Get about eye candy.
I always welcome in Corporal Semifredo.
Snickers satisfies you, just like my husband did 20 times just this morning. Manners. Hashtag etiquette.
Lieutenant Panacotta is here. I don't know what I was going to say.
Well, that does it for show part two. This was a fun reunion, but, I mean, so much of it, reunions are like, let's go over things we already went over and listen to them yell at people in different language.
Exactly. So it was fun. And then on Thursday, we have Southern Charm, New York City, Beverly Hills reunion, which will be insane. And Welcome to the Motherhood. I'm not sure. I saw the promo, and I immediately hated it, but it was also because it was like Unruly Kids, and you know me, I just can't deal.
I love that. I love Unruly Kids are the best audience, and I'm friends with lots of young mommies, so I like that kind of world too. So I think it's funny because this is a show where women really do this. They have their mother groups and they just get together and get crazy. Guys, today we're making a headband out of construction paper. Don't tell me I'm not still partying.
Oh man, that was a great sale. Great sell for me.
I'm in.
Well, I'm not sure we'll see if we have time to talk about it, but who knows? We'll see.
Well, I'm going to for sure watch it. So if you don't watch it, then I'll just give you a quick update. And if you do watch it, then we can talk about it.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Well, if we're a good couple, like those mommies and the mommyhood.
We are. We are a good little podcast couple. So everyone, thanks.
Don't feel
for
couple.
Thanks for listening. Go to watchcrappins.com to get our social media links and support us at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappins and of course facebook.com/watchwhatcrappins. And check out the books. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.